Good morning.
Good morning.
You may have wondered why I selected the scriptures I did, and this morning I'm going to be speaking about the word Selah. Some of you may be familiar with that word. I'll go through, you'll see why I selected the scriptures I did. But to begin, I would like to pray if you would join me. Father, we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We yield ourselves to you. We trust you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would have freedom to continue to draw us unto yourself, and that we would continue to grow in the knowledge of the image of Christ, and that you would conform us, that we would love like you do, and that you would love through us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I don't know how many of you know this, but I had the privilege of having both Pastor Jerry and Pastor Dave as youth pastors when I was growing up. And being that yesterday was Pastor Dave's birthday, I thought it would be fun to share just a story about both the impact he had on my life. And I feel overwhelmed with gratitude for just the gift these men have been to my life throughout the years. I'm 43. I know I don't look it or act it, but so this is back 26 years or whatever, 27 years, and in high school at Midway Covenant. And you know that if I can remember a message that Pastor gave 26 years later, that it was impactful. I remember sitting there, and Pastor Dave stood up and he said, "The title of today's message is Appearance is Everything." And inside of me, I was like, what? Like, where is he going with this? And of course, Dave was doing this out of dramatic effect to get our attention. And as impressionable young people, that did have an impact. And I don't know if you remember this, but he went on to say that, you know, we're not talking about being superficial, that appearance matters so much, but he was saying that the way people receive us and the way they experience us does matter. And as young people making decisions about our appearance and how we looked, and recently we dyed our son's hair blue just for fun, and you know, and he had a great time with that, and because I think maybe it was the impact of we had this thing called Messiah Madness where I dyed my hair red. So I don't know if that was in my influence or not. But with that, Pastor Dave spoke a word into our lives that made me consider my ways of how do I present myself and how am I received by people. And I remember a story of Pastor Jerry, whether he remembers this or not, but he invited me over to his house and he was building his fence. And I've shared this story before, but we were digging a hole for one of the fence posts, and we had a pick, and it got stuck, and it wasn't budging. And Jerry isn't a slight man; he has some strength to him. And I recall, you know, as a young impressionable man, you know, young man, 14, 15 years old, that Pastor Jerry didn't get frustrated or curse or do anything that somebody might do, but under his breath I heard him say, "Lord, touch this and release it." And immediately it came out. And I just, that stuck with me because it was like, here's something that could have been potentially really frustrating, be something where it's just in the moment, reaction was to just call on the Lord and just ask him to help. You know, and sometimes we go to the Lord as a last resort rather than it's our first impulse to say, "Lord, help." And that stuck with me. And so, you know, discipleship is, in essence, doing life together and getting to be with people that you may never remember these things, but they may be stick with people that they'll never forget as we do life together. So I'm just wanted to share those things as the gift these men have been to my life through over the years and the difference it's made. So thank you. So with Selah, I wanted to open with a humorous story. Selah, if you're not familiar, is used, I think, 76 times in the scriptures, and it's primarily in Psalms. And the basic meaning of Selah is pause. And different people have debated of why it's present in the scriptures and what its significance is. One pause that I wanted to share you that was quite humorous is I was living in a house in Ballard with nine other guys, and we called it my house, which confused people because we were referencing the scripture that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we'd always say my house, and like, whose house? My house, you know. And so this house, I lived there for 3.5 years in Ballard, and one of my friends, Jeff Mattson, was sitting across from me, and he had glasses. And you got to understand that Jeff is kind of a personality. You don't always know how he's going to react to something. And my other friend, Hawken, had made tapioca pudding. And he was so generous to share it with us, and we were eating tapioca pudding. And the difference between immaturity and maturity is maybe you have impulses that you don't react on. So I was showing my immaturity, and the thought went through my mind, what if I flick some tapioca pudding at Jeff? So I took my spoon, and he kind of got this look in his face like, don't do it. And I took the spoon, and I went, and this big splat ran on his glasses, and it's kind of sliding down his face, and there was a pause. And I was like, oh no, what's going to happen? And Jeff, for a moment, didn't do anything, and all of a sudden, takes his glasses off, and he says, I love you, bro. And I was like, whew, I got away with that one. Well, a week later, unknown to me that the revenge was brewing, and we had a fish tank in the basement, and one of the fish had died, and I was cleaning out the fish, and I had got the fish net, you know, got the dead fish in it. And Jeff came up behind me, and he took the fish net with the dead fish and pushed it in my face. And the first thought I had was, pause. I deserve this. But then I went to wash my face, of course. And as I'm washing my face, he comes up behind me with a handful of that stinky, flaky fish food and smears it in my face. And I'm like, that stuff smells horrid. And I was like, gross. And I was like, I deserve this. So I'm washing my face. And then I was like, then I look up, and he had taken a full bottle of hair gel that I had just purchased and unloaded it on me. He's like, just squirting me up and down. And I was at this point, okay, you're taking this a little too far. So I ran after him to kind of hug him and, you know, get the gel on back on him. And at this point, it's like, I need to take a shower, you know. And so I hop in the shower, and I thought I'd locked the door. And I hear the door unlock, and Jeff, I peek out, and Jeff had a cold cup of water. He was going to dump on me, and I said, Jeff, enough. You've got your revenge. So that was my funny story of a pause. But with that, pauses can make a big difference in our life. And I wanted to go through a couple reasons as we look in the scriptures and Psalms of the value and significance of pauses. And just to say up front, I'm going to just tell you the point of this whole message. The point of this message is pauses are necessary. We need pauses in our life. But then I'm going to unpack, you know, four specific scriptures we'll look at in terms of the value of pauses and why the pauses are present in the scriptures. So with the first one, if you want to move forward, can I do this?
Yes, right there. Yay.
All right, technology. Yay. Does that work? Okay. Technical difficulties, please stand by.
Pause.
Okay, that's great. I'll prompt you. Thank you. So the first one is pausing on purpose to listen and reflect. And as we see in Scripture, the meaning can be several things, but interlude is used. In some translations, you'll see, instead of seeing the word Selah, you'll see the word interlude. It's to praise or pause or reflect upon what just has been said. This word occurs 71 times in 39 of the Psalms and 3 times in Habakkuk, altogether 74 times in the Bible. Though there's a lively debate about the term's origins and its significance, the simplest explanation is that Selah indicates a pause. Pause may and calmly reflect. So the first thing, when I was talking about pausing on purpose to listen and reflect, there's different times in our lives where we, especially in our culture today, where we're inundated with noise and entertainment, and it's almost like sometimes one of my sons, I'm sure parents have all heard this, I'm bored. And boredom is a good thing for children. I think creativity can come out of boredom. I think great things can come out of boredom. And I think we shouldn't rush to fill silence and try to fill inactivity. Sometimes pauses are necessary, and we should encourage pauses in our lives. We don't have to have our cell phone. We don't have to have entertainment. We don't have to have noise. We can pause. And I think even more so in our today and age, we need pauses. This picture you see is, we went over, had an opportunity to go over to Vashon Island and spend some time, so we took a couple pictures, and just a beautiful place to pause. And I just enjoyed taking in the beauty of the Puget Sound. We live in Iowa, where there isn't a lot of difference in landscape. And one time Heather and I went to a park where there's actually a little elevation change, and I said, "Look, Heather, a hill!" And, you know, being from Seattle and growing up here, I can appreciate the beauty of the landscape where it's a little more mundane in Iowa. So with that, I don't know if you knew this, but I went to Seattle Pacific University, and one of the things that happened during that time, I recall one of the pauses in my life was, I woke up that morning and I read Psalm 46, and in it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations." And I recall this was my sophomore year, that I was really struggling about the decision of what I was going to major in. And I went to class. I had an Old Testament Bible class, and I don't know if you remember Dr. Scalise. She was an adjunct professor at Seattle Pacific, borrowed from Fuller Seminary, and she came over and she taught my class in Old Testament. And I remember we got there, and the first thing she did was read Psalm 46. And I was just like, "Okay, Lord," you know, because I just read it for my devotional. I come to class and she reads it, and I needed a pause. And I went up to her after the class was over, and I asked Dr. Scalise, a wonderful woman, just as kind as they come, and I asked her, "You know, I'm really struggling with making the decision about, you know, my major." And she said, "Well, I want you to reframe the way you're thinking about this decision. You're thinking about your decision for the now. I want you to think about the future and the people that you will impact in your life. And I want you to think about making that decision not on the basis of what you want to do, but on the basis of what is the place of blessing that people need from you in this world." And it was a profound thought, because I was so focused and narrow vision of the here and now. And I remember thinking, because I was deciding between biblical studies or psychology, and I was like, well, if I had the opportunity and I could do one thing, it would study the Bible. You know, and that pause was a significant pause in my life that directed my steps from there on. And so I'm thankful for when God inserts the need for the pause in our life. And that was a powerful pause in my life. It says in Psalm 66:4, do you remember that Don read this scripture, and it was significant? I was touched by what you shared. And it says, everything in verse 4, everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs. Pause. Come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he performs for people. In the midst of the decisions of our lives, there is the need to pause and to listen. Because I think sometimes we need to create a rhythm in our lives of listening. You know, sometimes we think of prayer more as of us talking, but so much of prayer needs to be listening. Both is required in the life of prayer, is that we're both taking time to pour our hearts out to God, but also to take time to listen. The second one is pausing on purpose to... Back to two. To worship and to be in awe. If you will turn to Psalm... that was actually, I got ahead of myself. That was 66, 4 and 5, the worship and awe. Have you, any of you ever been to Saltwater Park? I had the opportunity, was it yesterday that we went for a walk? Friday. Heather and I went for a walk, and I don't know if you know this, but at Saltwater Park, there's an upper level where you can walk along, and there's an overview park at the top. And as I was growing up, sometimes I would take a time to slip away and go up there, because not many people ever go up there. It's actually quite peaceful, and I think in all the times I've gone up there, I've rarely seen another person up there. So it almost felt like this sacred place for me to get away and to take time to pause. And one of those times was when I was making a decision about what college I went. I had applied to Pacific Lutheran, Seattle Pacific, and the University of Washington. And have you ever been in a place in your life where you stand before a crossroads and it's a big decision and you feel like there's a lot of weight in this decision? Have you been there? And for me, as a young man, 18 years old, I felt like, well, if I make this decision, I go here, it will forever change my life and what I will do and the people I'll meet. And it felt overwhelming to me. And I remember asking my parents, can I take a day off to stay home and fast and pray about my decision? And it was a legitimate reason to skip school. My parents let me. And I stayed home, and I spent the day just asking the Lord for direction, because I really wanted His leading in this. And I remember by the end of the day, I had no further sense of direction than I did at the beginning of the day. And I was really frustrated with the Lord, and I expressed my frustration of, Lord, like, throw me a bone. I need some help here. And I looked up, and the scripture that was on the table was Isaiah 30, 21. And it says, whether you turn left or whether you turn right, you will hear my voice calling, walk in this way. And I really felt like the Lord was saying to me, Jeremy, I'm not so concerned about your location as the condition of your heart in that location. And it didn't help me make the decision, but it gave me the peace and the freedom to make the decision in liberty, knowing that I could walk it out, knowing that there's this wonderful God who's committed to me, that loves me, and I could be at a place of worship and awe of knowing that He was going to direct my steps and that I could trust Him with my life. And that's really shaped in a large way the way I make decisions, is that you wait upon the Lord, you do everything you know to seek counsel, and then you move forward in freedom, knowing that God loves you and He's committed to you and He will lead you. And He's big enough to correct you when you make a mistake. And it's a, you know, even as parents, we know we don't want to tell our children everything to do. We want to teach them principles to make good decisions. And as God our Father, He gives us great freedom to make choices. And He knows our heart, that we're submitted to Him. That sometimes we get so afraid of making decision, we get in this place of maybe fear of making a decision, so we get paralyzed and feeling, well, I don't want to make the wrong decision and mess everything up. And I think God's bigger than that, to walk us out with us through those decisions and to lead our steps. Amen. The third thing I wanted to mention was to ask the pausing on purpose to ask questions and seek guidance. You know the scripture we read, Psalm 77. If you'll recall, in that scripture, there's some hard questions asked, aren't there? I mean, the ones that I wanted to focus on was in verse 7. He says, Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? And then it continues, in his unfailing love gone forever, have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? Pause. And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. And I think, you know, we don't ask those kinds of questions, those hard kinds of questions, unless we have a trust with the Lord in the relationship. And those are some hard questions to ask. But isn't it a gift that the scriptures give the full spectrum of the human experience and emotion? That I don't think this was done in irreverence. I don't know about you, but I've been at some places where I felt like, God, are you there? And wondering, is he going to come through? And he is so faithful. I'm so thankful we sang this song, God, great is thy faithfulness. You know, throughout our lives, as we look back and we ponder some of the experiences we have, we can see the trace of God's hand in his faithfulness. I remember some friends sitting, and they were three friends from seminary, and they were all hanging out in Tennessee, Kevin, Peter, and Jason. And they were asking the question, what's your greatest regret in life? And, you know, Kevin spoke up, and he shared what he was, one of the things that he really had heartache about. And the second, Peter shared. And then they said, well, Jason was really quiet. I think he was pausing and giving reflection to that question, what was his greatest regret? And Jason spoke up and he finally said, well, I'm trying to live with no regrets because I want to own my whole story. And he wasn't trying to be profound. He was just trying to say that, I mean, even we were at church and someone said, shame can go to hell. And what they were saying is that shame doesn't have a place in the life of the believer, because shame always creates disconnection. It always causes hiding. And even in the Garden of Eden, when the fall of Adam and Eve, what did they do? They went and hid because there was disconnection and there was shame. And part of owning our whole story is being willing to recognize that we have a redemptive God that redeems our whole story, every part of it. The darkest, the most difficult places, God is present to us in those difficult and dark places, and he is able to redeem. And one person taught that courage is the willingness to vulnerably tell our whole story. And That's sometimes a tough pill to swallow. But in it, I've found in the darkest places of my story, when I've been willing to have the courage to tell it, that it's fostered and engendered connection with other people, because they can identify with me. They can see you too, and they can identify with the heartache and the struggle that we need to be present to with each other to walk through. So I'm thankful that God gives us permission and the freedom to ask hard questions and then to be willing to pause to hear what he would speak to us with those questions. Because sometimes maybe we ask questions, but we don't stop to listen for an answer. And those pauses are needed to hear what he would speak to us in those quiet places. Amen. The final one that I wanted to share was pausing on purpose to cry out to God and to bear your heart. I remember a time, this was actually an experience I had with Dave. We took Greek together, and we were like middle school students that would pass notes to each other. And I remember Renee, I can't remember her last name, but she was our Greek teacher, and Renee was a wonderful, wonderful teacher. And despite her best efforts, I did not do well in Greek. And but I remember one time Dave and Brooke Selby and I were passing notes, and we got to giggling like juveniles, And Renee looked up and she was like, "What's so funny?" And there was nothing, you know. And I remember that I was not at a good place spiritually when I was in, this was, I had graduated from SPU, immediately started as, after finishing at SPU, my starting at Fuller Seminary, taking classes. And I remember one night I left class and I was just so discouraged. I felt like, why am I doing this? I don't like Greek, and I'm struggling in this class. I'm not even sure I'm going to pass this class, and I don't even know if I should be in seminary. And I remember driving out to Gasworks Park. It was after class, late at night, when everything was dark, and I just sat up on the hillside. You know how that big hill that sits there and overlooks the city. And I just sat there and journaled. And I cried out to God because I was not at a place where my heart was where it needed to be. And I really felt like God met me on that hill. He's just so faithful to meet us where we're at. You know, whether it's at a place of doubts, whether it's at a place of fears, whether it's at a place of rejoicing, whether it's a place of elation, of just the gift of being alive. But that pause for me was almost like would usher me into the next season that I needed to go into. And I ended up leaving seminary, and I think that it was needful for me to do so. Because sometimes we pursue something, and Pastor Jerry has shared this, sometimes when God gives us a vision, we run after it. But we run after it in the flesh. And we use our human resources rather than seeking, allowing God to fill the God vision with the God resources. And sometimes we have to allow the vision to die in order to be resurrected. Because then when he resurrects the vision, it's breathed from his life and his spirit. And he's able to fulfill it and show us that it was him alone that made it possible. And so I'm thankful for those kinds of pauses. And I'm sure that there's been some in your life that you could speak to that made a difference. I've been learning to, especially in parenting, that I need to pause. Because there's times we react to our children out of frustration or rather, and we don't do or say what we should. And I think, you know, my mom tells me that she used to take timeouts not for us, but for herself. She would put us in timeout for herself. So she didn't say or do something she would regret. And we need pauses in our life so that we can, in those moments, make sure that we're operating and functioning out of a place of responding to and listening from heaven to move forward with his resources and speaking his heart and doing his will. Amen?
Amen.
Would you pray with me? And what I would like to do is, as I will close in prayer, but then I would like to take a pause. And we don't need to feel like we need to fill the void of that pause, but just to listen for a few moments, if you would allow that. Is that okay? All right. Father, we love you. We thank you for your kindness towards us. We thank you that we can trust you with our lives. We trust you. We place our past, our present, and our future in your hands. We thank you that you have redeemed the past. We thank you that you are present to us right now, and we thank you that you give us promise for the future. Lord, we take a moment now to pause, and we ask that you would just minister and speak your heart to us in this moment. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time. And we ask that you would go with us today as we go about our day, that you would help us to take moments with you, and that you would lead us in your path. And we commit our days and all of our ways to you. In Jesus' name, amen.